Welcome to our deep dive today.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at brand tragedies.
Okay.
Those moments when a brand really takes a hit,
Yeah.
sometimes a fatal one.
Yeah.
And we're going to be using some real-world examples to understand how this happens and
Got
what
it.
we can learn from it. So we've got some fascinating cases lined up, like what happened with Coca-Cola's new Coke,
Right.
Motorola's fall from the top of the mobile phone world.
Oh, yeah.
And that United Airlines incident everybody remembers, where a passenger was forcibly removed from a flight.
It's interesting because you might think at first glance these were just product failures,
Yeah.
but it goes much deeper than that.
Right.
A true brand tragedy is about a loss of trust. It damages the relationship between a company and its customers.
Yeah.
And that can have huge consequences.
It's like that saying, it takes years to build trust and only seconds to destroy it.
Absolutely.
And when that trust is broken, it can be really tough to come back from.
Think about the Bhopal gas leak and what that did to Union Carbide's reputation.
Wow.
Or how brands like Motorola and BlackBerry went from dominating the mobile phone market to struggling to keep up.
Right.
These weren't just about a product that didn't sell well.
Uh-huh.
They shook people's faith in these companies to their core.
Okay, so let's dive into the first warning sign that a brand might be headed for trouble. Technology myopia.
Okay.
So it's a little scary,
yeah.
Like something out of a science fiction movie.
It can be just as damaging.
Right.
Technology myopia is basically when a brand fails to adapt to the crazy fast speed of technological change.
So like they're wearing blinders and just not seeing what's happening around them?
Yeah, they're missing what's happening around them.
Yeah.
And that leaves them wide open to competitors who are innovating,
right,
keeping up with what customers want.
It's kind of like being stuck in the past, right?
Yeah.
Like those people who still refuse to use smartphones,
yeah,
they're missing out on a whole world of possibilities.
Exactly.
Mm.
And there are three things that really contribute to this technology myopia.
Okay.
The first is velocity.
Okay.
Which is basically just the speed of change in technology.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Moore's law?
Uh-huh.
Processing power doubles every couple of years.
Right.
If a brand isn't constantly innovating,
yeah,
they're falling behind at an alarming rate.
Okay, so velocity. Then there's variety.
Right.
I'm guessing that has to do with how complex technology is getting.
Right.
Right.
Think about all the technology packed into even everyday products these days.
Okay.
Smartphones, cars,
yeah,
even your refrigerator.
It's incredible.
They're all incredibly sophisticated.
Yeah.
If a brand doesn't have a handle on all these different technologies, they're going to miss opportunities and potentially make costly mistakes.
Okay. And then the last one, visibility.
Yes.
I'm guessing this is about being aware of new technologies that are on the horizon.
Exactly. Visibility is all about recognizing the significance of emerging technologies. It's about being able to see the road ahead, anticipate what's coming.
Right.
If a brand isn't paying attention, it's essentially driving blind.
So a brand with technology myopia is basically ignoring the warning signs.
Yeah.
And potentially heading straight for a cliff.
Uh-huh.
I think we've got some pretty classic examples of
that. Oh, absolutely. Take Motorola, for instance.
Yeah, Motorola.
They had a long history of innovation.
Right.
But they completely missed the boat on key trends like the shift to digital technology that Nokia capitalized on,
yeah,
and the rise of secure messaging that BlackBerry championed.
It's almost like they were so focused on their past success that they couldn't see the competition coming up from behind. They were living in their own little bubble.
And speaking of BlackBerry,
yeah,
they were amazing at secure messaging, but they clung to their physical keyboards way too long. They underestimated how much people would love touchscreens,
right,
and all the cool apps that came with the iPhone.
It's amazing how quickly things can change, especially in the tech world.
Yeah, it is.
One minute you're on top, and the next you're scrambling to catch up.
It's a cautionary tale for sure.
Yeah.
You have to constantly be scanning the horizon, anticipating what's coming next,
right,
and adapting your strategy.
Yeah.
If you don't, you risk becoming a relic of the past. You know, it's interesting how this ties into another warning sign we see in brand tragedies.
Okay.
Ruptured loyalty.
Oh, that's a good one. I've definitely had moments where I felt like a brand betrayed my loyalty, usually because of terrible customer service.
Right.
But what else contributes to this breakdown in the relationship?
You've hit on something important.
Okay.
It's really a two-way street.
Okay.
Brands expect customer loyalty.
Right.
But they need to be loyal to their customers in return.
So it's not just about getting someone to buy your product once. It's about cultivating a relationship.
Yes.
Built on mutual trust and respect.
Precisely. And there are three dimensions to this loyalty. that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Cognitive loyalty, affective loyalty,
mm-hmm.
and behavioral loyalty.
Okay, I'm curious. Break those down for me and how they play out in the real world.
Let's start with cognitive loyalty.
Okay.
It's all about understanding what your customers need
uh-huh.
and how they perceive your brand.
Okay.
Think of it as doing your homework. You really have to know your target audience.
So you need to get inside their heads, understand uh-huh. their motivations, and make sure your brand is delivering what they want.
Uh-huh.
It's like a mental connection.
Exactly. Then you've got affective loyalty,
okay,
which is about tapping into emotions mm-hmm. and cultural associations.
Mm.
It's about creating a brand that resonates with people on a deeper level.
So it's not just a product.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
Yes.
It's about making people feel something.
Yeah. You want them to love your brand.
Yeah.
Not just like it.
Exactly.
And finally, there's behavioral loyalty.
Okay.
Which is all about walking the walk.
Yeah.
This is where you take actions that demonstrate your care for customers.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent customer service.
Yeah.
Loyalty programs. Even just responding to feedback quickly and respectfully.
Right.
These all play a part.
So you're saying you have to back up your words with actions.
Absolutely.
Don't just say you care about your customers. Show them you care.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And when brands fail to address these different dimensions of loyalty,
yeah.
they risk alienating their customers
uh-huh.
and ultimately damaging their brand.
And I bet you've got some QC examples of this happening.
Oh, you know I do. Remember Tropicana's attempt to modernize their packaging?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They got rid of their iconic orange image,
uh-huh.
the one with the straw,
right?
And went for a more minimalist look.
Yes.
Sales absolutely tanked.
Yeah.
And customers were furious.
Wait, I think I remember that. Didn't people feel like Tropicana was trying to be something they weren't?
Exactly. That orange image wasn't just a picture.
Mm-hmm.
It represented something to people. It was a symbol of fresh, healthy orange juice.
Yeah.
Something familiar and comforting.
Right.
When Tropicana changed it.
Yeah.
They messed with those deeply ingrained associations,
uh-huh.
both cognitive and affective.
Mm-hmm.
And customers felt betrayed.
It's like they ripped away a familiar landmark. Makes me think of the new Coke fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
My parents were so upset when they changed the original formula. What were they thinking?
It's a classic example of ignoring the emotional connection customers have with a brand.
Mm.
They were so focused on taste tests,
right,
trying to beat Pepsi, that they completely missed the bigger picture.
They forgot that people don't just drink Coca-Cola. They have memories and feelings associated with it.
Exactly. It was a major lesson in the power of effective loyalty.
Yeah.
Brands need to understand those deep-seated connections
uh-huh.
and be very careful about making changes that could disrupt them.
You know, it makes you realize how important it is for brands to stay in tune with their customers.
Right.
You have to keep your finger on the pulse of what they're thinking and feeling. But even when you do everything right, there are still some things that can really throw a wrench in the works, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Sometimes things happen that are completely outside of a brand's control.
Right.
Things that can spiral out of control very quickly.
Uh-oh.
We call this next warning sign bruising viral spirals.
Bruising viral spirals. Oh, that sounds like something you definitely want to avoid.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is where social media comes in.
You got it.
Yeah.
In today's world, negative information can spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
Causing serious damage to a brand's reputation.
It's like a digital mob with pitchforks and torches ready to pounce on any brand that makes a mistake. And it happens so fast.
It does.
You can go from being a beloved brand to public enemy number one in a matter of hours.
That's why understanding market dynamics is crucial.
Okay.
Certain markets are more prone to these viral spirals than others,
mm-hmm.
often because of how emotionally charged the content is,
yep.
how information is shared, and how important impression management is to consumers.
So if you're a brand operating in one of these sensitive markets, you need to be extra careful.
Absolutely.
It's like walking a tightrope.
One wrong move, and you could find yourself at the center of a social media storm.
Wow.
And we've got some real-world examples of this, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Remember that United Airlines incident I mentioned earlier where they forcibly removed a passenger from a flight? That video spread across social media like wildfire.
It did.
Sparking outrage and calls for boycotts. I think we all saw that video, and it was hard to watch.
It was a PR nightmare for United. It highlighted the power of social media to amplify negative experiences
mm-hmm.
and how quickly a brand's reputation can be tarnished. And even brands with good intentions can get caught in these spirals.
Right, like that Dove ad campaign a few years back.
Uh-huh.
I think they were trying to promote body positivity, but it came across as racially insensitive and triggered a huge backlash.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a reminder that brands need to be incredibly mindful of their messaging.
Yeah.
Especially when dealing with sensitive topics.
Right.
You have to think about how your message might be perceived by different audiences.
Uh-huh.
And be prepared for the possibility of unintended consequences.
Okay, so we've talked about technology myopia, ruptured loyalties, and bruising viral spirals. Those are three pretty big warning signs. What other dangers should brands be on the lookout for?
Let's talk about something that can be truly devastating.
Oh.
Something that can shake a company to its core. Catastrophes.
Ooh, that sounds ominous. We're talking about major events, right?
Yeah.
Like natural disasters,
yeah.
pandemics, industrial accidents, things right. that can have a massive impact
oh.
on a brand's image and operations.
Exactly. Now, a lot of times, these events are completely outside of a brand's control.
Right.
But what matters most is how they respond.
So it's not about preventing the catastrophe itself,
mm-hmm.
but about managing the fallout, minimizing the damage.
Exactly. There are a few key principles that can help brands navigate these incredibly challenging situations.
Yeah.
A swift and well-framed response is crucial.
All right.
And the focus should always be on the people affected,
yeah.
not on protecting the brand itself.
So it's about empathy, compassion,
yes.
and taking responsibility, even if the event wasn't directly your fault.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's also important to analyze the systems that led to the catastrophe.
Okay.
So you can learn from your mistakes,
uh-huh.
prevent future occurrences.
Right. Otherwise, you're just setting yourself up to repeat the same mistakes.
And I'm guessing communication is key, too.
Oh, yeah. You have to be transparent with your customers and stakeholders,
uh-huh.
letting them know what happened,
uh-huh.
what you're doing to fix it, and what you're doing to prevent it from happening again.
You're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you communicate matters a lot.
Right.
You need to rebuild trust and communicate a path forward.
Mm.
And that requires honesty, empathy,
yeah.
and a willingness to be accountable.
So even in the face of a catastrophe, there is a chance to rebuild and come out stronger on the other side.
Absolutely. Let's look at some examples of brands that face major catastrophes.
Okay.
And manage to recover. First, let's talk about Boeing.
Okay, Boeing.
Those two fatal 737 MAX crashes were a huge crisis for them.
Yeah, I remember that. It was all over the news.
They what?
They had to ground the entire fleet.
Exactly. And initially, their response was widely criticized. They seemed more focused on blaming pilot error
really?
And addressing the underlying issues with the aircraft.
Wow.
It came across as defensive and insensitive.
Yeah.
And it really damaged their reputation.
It's like they were trying to sweep the problem under the rug instead of facing it head on.
And it backfired. It took them a long time to regain public trust.
Uh-huh.
They had to make major changes to the aircraft and their safety protocols to get the 737 MAX back in the air.
It shows that even a giant company like Boeing can stumble when faced with a catastrophe,
yeah.
especially if their response isn't handled well.
Absolutely. No brand is immune to these kinds of events.
Right.
But there are brands that have shown us how to navigate these situations effectively.
Okay, give me an example.
Take Chipotle, for example.
Okay, Chipotle.
They had those multiple E. coli outbreaks.
Oh, yeah.
That forced them to take drastic action.
I remember that. It definitely made me think twice about eating there for a while.
It shook consumer confidence in a big way.
Yeah.
But Chipotle took it seriously.
Okay.
They closed stores.
Yeah.
Overhauled their food safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Were transparent about their investigation and the changes they were making.
Uh-huh.
And they revamped their marketing to rebuild trust.
So they acknowledged the problem, took ownership,
uh-huh.
and made real changes to fix it.
Exactly. And it paid off. It took time. But Chipotle was able to rebuild their brand and regain customer trust.
Wow.
It's a great example of how a company can turn a potential brand tragedy into an opportunity to strengthen their relationship with their customers.
So the key takeaway here is that even in the face of a major crisis, there's a path to recovery.
But you have to be willing to take the right steps.
Mm.
Be transparent. Be accountable. And make real changes to address the problem.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So we've covered technology myopia, ruptured loyalties, bruising viral spirals, and catastrophes.
Are there any other warning signs we need to watch out for?
Well, there are two more.
Okay.
And they're often linked. We call them leadership lost in psychic prisons.
Okay.
These can be particularly tricky to spot.
Oh.
And even harder to escape.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Let's start with leadership lost. What did that look like?
Imagine this. A brand is facing a crisis.
Okay.
And the leaders at the top,
chat,
the people who are supposed to be steering the ship,
right,
are failing to take responsibility.
Okay.
They're not communicating effectively. And they're not making decisive decisions.
So it's not just a lack of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the leadership becomes part of the problem.
Exactly. Instead of being a source of strength and guidance,
right,
they become liability, exacerbating the crisis instead of solving it. And often this goes hand in hand with what we call psychic prisons. Psychic prisons. Okay, now I'm really curious. Tell me more.
Imagine a company that was once incredibly successful.
Okay.
They had a formula that worked.
Ah.
A way of doing things that brought them to the top.
Yeah.
But the world around them has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And their old ways just aren't cutting it anymore.
So they're stuck in the past.
Yeah.
Clinging to outdated ideas and strategies.
Precisely. They're trapped in their own psychic prison.
Wow.
Unable to see the warning signs.
No.
Adapt to change. Or recognize the threats that are looming on the horizon.
Right.
They become prisoners of their own past success.
Wow.
And that's a dangerous place to be.
It's like they're living in a bubble. Yeah. Oblivious to the fact that the world outside has moved on.
Exactly. And that's how once mighty brands like Nokia fell from grace.
Nokia.
They were the undisputed kings of the mobile phone world.
Yeah.
But they failed to adapt to the rise of smartphones. Their leadership was slow to react.
Uh-huh.
They're trapped in a mindset that valued hardware over software.
It's like they were clinging to their old ways while the market was shifting dramatically around them. They were too slow to adapt.
Uh-huh.
And too stuck in their old ways to see what was happening.
It's a classic example of both leadership lost and psychic prisons.
Mm.
And it cost them dearly.
Yeah.
They lost market share, their brand value plummeted, and they eventually had to sell off their mobile phone business.
Wow.
It's a stark reminder that brands need to constantly evolve, challenge their assumptions, and be willing to change course when necessary.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
5 warning signs. Technology myopia, ruptured loyalties, bruising viral spirals, catastrophes, and now leadership lost in psychic prisons. It's a lot to take in. Is there a way to kind of pull all of this together?
That's a great question.
Yep.
And you're right. It is a lot of information. But there's a really helpful tool that can guide us through all of this.
Awesome.
Something we call the Brand Tragedy Index,
okay,
or BTI for short.
The Brand Tragedy Index. I like the sound of that. Tell me more. What is it and how can it help?
The BTI is a framework for assessing a brand's vulnerability,
uh-huh,
to all of these warning signs we've been talking about.
Right.
It's like a risk assessment tool.
Okay.
Specifically designed for brands. And the best part is that you can use it proactively.
Okay.
To identify potential threats before they become full-blown tragedies.
So it's like a warning system.
Yeah.
Helping brands to spot the danger signs early on,
uh-huh,
and take action before it's too late.
Exactly. And it highlights the importance of several things.
Okay.
Regularly evaluating where your brand stands and how well it's adapting to change.
Right.
Building a strong and flexible brand management team.
Mm-hmm.
And learning from the mistakes of others.
Learning from mistakes, that seems to be a recurring theme in today's deep dive.
Yeah, it is.
It's all about being aware of the pitfalls.
Uh-huh.
Being prepared for the unexpected. And being willing to adapt and learn from both successes and failures.
You've got it. And that's where the BTI comes in.
Okay.
It gives us a framework for understanding these risks, assessing our vulnerabilities, and taking proactive steps to build a brand that's resilient and adaptable.
Sounds like a powerful tool. I'm excited to learn more about how it works and how we can put it into practice.
Well, you're in luck because that's exactly what we're going to do in part 2 of this deep dive.
Awesome.
We'll unpack the Brand Tragedy Index in detail.
Okay.
Explore how to calculate it. And discuss how to use this valuable information to make strategic decisions.
Sounds like a plan. Stay tuned for part 2, where we'll continue our exploration of the Brand Tragedy Index and learn how to protect your brand from disaster.
Welcome back. Let's dive into the Brand Tragedy Index.
Okay.
Or BTI.
Uh-huh.
You might be wondering how this actually works in the real world.
Yeah. How do you actually use it?
Imagine you're leading a brand.
Okay.
And you want to know how susceptible you are to those warning signs we talked about.
Right.
How do you measure that?
That's a great question. I'm all about practical tools. So walk me through how I can actually use this BTI thing.
There are a few ways to approach it, depending on how much time you have and how deep you want to go.
Okay.
Let's start with the simplest approach, which we call the global BTI.
Global BTIs.
Imagine a scale from 0 to 10, where 0 means totally safe, nothing to worry about, and 10 means, uh-oh, major red flags.
Okay.
You just rate the brand overall?
Uh-huh.
Thinking about all those warning signs we discussed?
So it's like a gut check. You look at the brand, consider all those potential pitfalls, and get a general sense of how vulnerable they might be.
Exactly.
Kind of like a quick health checkup for your brand.
It's a good starting point.
Okay, so instead of looking at the whole picture at once, you break it down into smaller pieces, examining each of those warning signs individually.
Precisely. You can still use a simple scale,
uh-huh.
or you could develop more detailed criteria for each warning sign,
okay.
for example. If you're assessing a brand's vulnerability to technology myopia,
okay.
you might consider their investment in research and development, their track record of adopting new technologies, and how aware they seem to be of emerging trends.
So you're basically looking for evidence that they're staying ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Are they investing in innovation? Are they keeping up with the latest technologies? Do they seem to have a good grasp of what's coming next?
Exactly. And for ruptured loyalties, you might look at how well they handle customer service.
Okay.
How responsive they are to feedback.
Yeah.
And how strong their customer relationships seem to be.
It's about looking at all the different ways a brand can lose touch with its customers.
Yeah.
And then assessing how well that brand is doing in each of those areas.
Exactly. It's a more nuanced approach.
Uh-huh.
Gives you a much better understanding of where brand might be vulnerable.
Okay. So we've got global BTI, signpost-specific BTI. And then if you really want to go deep, there's the comprehensive signpost estimation, BTI.
That's right.
Okay, I'm sensing we're about to get really granular here. Bring it on. What makes this approach so comprehensive?
Remember how we broke down each warning sign into specific factors?
Yeah.
Well, with this method, you go even further.
Okay.
You analyze each factor in detail and assign weights to them based on how important you think they are.
So for technology myopia, we wouldn't just look at the overall concept. We'd delve into those specific factors we discussed earlier. Velocity, variety, and visibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You assign a weight to each factor based on its importance,
mm-hmm.
and then rate the brand's vulnerability to each factor on a scale. Finally, you'd calculate a weighted score for the entire warning sign.
So you're not just saying this brand has a problem with technology myopia. You're saying they're particularly vulnerable to the velocity of technological change, or they're not very good at recognizing emerging trends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more detailed analysis.
It's like giving the brand a full body scan, looking for any potential weaknesses or areas where they might be at risk.
Okay, so we have these three approaches: global, signpost specific, and comprehensive. How do we know which one to use?
That's a great question.
It seems like it depends on the situation, right?
Absolutely. It depends on your goals, the resources you have available, and the complexity of the brand you're evaluating.
Okay.
If you just need a quick overview, the global BTI might be enough.
Yeah.
But if you're developing a brand strategy or trying to get to the root of a specific problem, you'll want to use one of the more detailed approaches.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job. You wouldn't use a hammer to fix a leaky faucet.
Exactly.
And even after we've chosen the right approach and done our assessment, we don't just stop there, right?
Right. The BTI is about more than just assigning numbers.
Okay.
It's a starting point for a conversation, a way to spark meaningful discussions about how to strengthen a brand. One technique that can be really helpful here is the Delphi method.
The Delphi method. I'm intrigued. Tell me more. How does that fit into this whole BTI process?
It's a structured communication technique.
Okay.
It's really useful when you need to get a group of experts to come to a consensus on something.
Uh-huh.
In the context of the BTI, you have a team of people, maybe from different departments like marketing, operations, finance, customer service.
Okay, different perspectives.
Yeah.
People with different areas of expertise to get a more well-rounded view.
Exactly. Independently assess the brand using the BTI.
So they all do their own assessments first.
Uh-huh. Then the team would come together to discuss their assessments, share their insights, and try to reach a consensus on the brand's overall vulnerability.
It's like harnessing the collective wisdom of the group. You're challenging assumptions, identifying blind spots, and ultimately arriving at a more informed and robust assessment.
Precisely. The Delphi method can really help to surface those hidden risks.
Right.
And areas where there might be disagreement.
Uh-huh.
It leads to a much more comprehensive understanding.
Yeah.
Of the brand's strengths and weaknesses.
So we've calculated the BTI, we've had our Delphi method discussions,
right.
and we have a clear picture of where a brand might be vulnerable. What do we do with this information?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, how do we actually put it into action?
The BTI isn't about predicting doom and gloom.
Oh, okay.
It's about empowerment. It's about giving brands the tools they need to identify potential problems and take action to prevent them.
So it's not just about pointing out what's wrong. It's about offering solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. The first step is to really analyze the results of your BTI assessment.
Okay.
And figure out where the brand is most vulnerable. Which warning signs are flashing red? Where are the biggest risks?
And then you can develop targeted strategies to address those weaknesses.
Exactly.
So, for example, if a brand scores really high on technology myopia, maybe they need to increase their investment in research and development or explore partnerships with more innovative companies.
Exactly. And if ruptured loyalties are a major concern,
right,
maybe they need to focus on improving their customer service,
okay,
revamping their loyalty program, or finding ways to better connect with their customers on an emotional level.
It's about turning insights into action, moving from assessment to strategy.
And it's important to remember that the BTI isn't a one-time thing.
Okay.
The business world is constantly changing.
Right.
So brands need to constantly be evaluating their position, adjusting their strategies accordingly.
It's like a continuous feedback loop.
Yeah.
You assess, you strategize, you act, you reassess, and so on. It's about staying adaptable and responsive to change.
You got it. The BTI is a powerful tool for brands of all sizes.
Yeah.
From global giants to small startups, it's all about understanding the risks, being prepared for the unexpected, and building a brand that can weather any storm.
Speaking of weathering storms, in part three, we'll explore how some specific brands have used the BTI to navigate real-world challenges and achieve remarkable success.
We'll see how brands like Lego, Nike, and Johnson & Johnson put these principles into action to overcome obstacles and build lasting resilience.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Remember all those warning signs we've been discussing?
Yeah.
Technology myopia, ruptured loyalties, bruising viral spirals, catastrophes, and those tricky traps of leadership lost in psychic prisons?
Uh-huh.
And then that really useful tool, the Brand Tragedy Index, or BTI, to help you assess how vulnerable you are to those pitfalls.
Right.
Well, we're going to put it all together now with some real-world examples.
It's fascinating because the BPI isn't just some abstract theory.
Yeah.
It's a practical framework that brands of all sizes have used to navigate real challenges and come out stronger on the other side.
Okay, so let's see it in action. Give me some examples of brands that have successfully used these BTI principles to avoid disaster.
One brand that stands out is Lego.
Lego.
Think about it. They've been around for decades.
No, yeah.
And they're still going strong.
Yeah, they're more popular than ever.
They face their share of ups and downs.
Yeah.
But they've consistently shown an ability to adapt and stay ahead of the curve.
Lego, I loved those as a kid. I still have a box of them somewhere. But seriously, what's their secret?
A big part of their success is that they haven't fallen into the trap of technology myopia.
Okay.
They've consistently invested in innovation, going beyond those classic bricks to incorporate things like robotics, digital experiences, and even augmented reality.
So they recognize that the way kids play is changing and they evolved their products to stay relevant.
Right.
They didn't just cling to what worked in the past.
Exactly. They understood that kids today are growing up in a digital world.
Right.
And they needed to create experiences that resonated with that.
Makes sense.
But it hasn't always been smooth sailing.
Oh.
Back in the early 2000s, they started venturing into some overly complex themes and kind of lost sight of their core audience.
That sounds a lot like those ruptured loyalties we were talking about.
It was a classic case. They were trying to appeal to a wider audience, but they alienated their core fans, the kids who just loved building with those classic Lego bricks.
So how did they recover from that?
They did what any smart brand should do. They listened to their customers.
Oh.
They realized they had strayed too far from their core values. And they course corrected. They went back to focusing on their core product.
Okay.
Those iconic bricks, while still incorporating new and innovative elements.
So it's a balancing act. You have to stay true to what makes your brand special, but you also have to be willing to adapt to the changing world around you.
Exactly. And Lego is a masterclass in how to strike that balance. Another brand that has consistently demonstrated a keen understanding of these principles is Nike.
Nike, the shoe and apparel giant. What have they done to avoid brand tragedy?
They've been incredibly successful at building strong emotional connections with their customers.
Okay.
Think about it. Their Just Do It slogan.
Oh, yeah.
Their partnerships with legendary athletes like Michael Jordan and Serena Williams. They've created a brand that represents something more than just products.
Right.
It's about aspiration, athleticism, and pushing yourself to be your best.
They're not just selling shoes. They're selling a feeling, an idea.
Exactly. And that strong emotional connection, that effective loyalty, acts as a kind of buffer against things like brooding viral spirals.
So even if they make a mistake or face some negative publicity, they've built up enough goodwill with their customers to weather the storm.
Exactly. Of course, no brand is completely immune to criticism or controversy, especially in the age of social media. But Nike has shown that having a strong brand identity, a clear set of values, and a genuine connection with your customers can help you navigate those challenges more effectively.
Yeah.
They've also been very proactive in addressing social issues.
Okay.
Which has helped them stay ahead of the curve and avoid potential controversies.
So they're not just selling products. They're taking a stand on issues that matter to their customers. They're building a brand that people want to be a part of, a brand that aligns with their values.
And that's incredibly powerful. You know, sometimes even the best brands face unexpected challenges.
Right.
Think about Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson.
A company that's built on trust and reliability.
Didn't they have that Tylenol tampering scare back in the 80s? It was all over the news.
It was.
It seemed like their brand could have been destroyed.
It was a true catastrophe. It could have been the end of Tylenol, maybe even Johnson & Johnson as a whole.
Yeah.
But their response was nothing short of brilliant.
What did they do?
They immediately pulled the product off the shelves, putting public safety above profits.
They didn't try to downplay the problem or shift the blame. They took responsibility.
Exactly. And they were incredibly transparent,
keeping
the public informed every step of the way. They even developed tamper-resistant packaging, setting a new standard for the entire industry.
So they turned a potential tragedy into an opportunity to strengthen their brand and build even deeper trust with their customers. It's inspiring, really.
It's a testament to the power of leadership, transparency, and a genuine commitment to doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it all comes back to those BTI principles we've been talking about.
So we've seen Lego adapting to technological change, Nike building strong emotional connections, and Johnson & Johnson demonstrating incredible leadership in a crisis. Those are some powerful examples. What are the key takeaways for our listeners? What can they do to protect their own brands from these pitfalls?
First, remember that the business world is constantly changing.
Okay.
You have to be willing to adapt, to evolve, to challenge your assumptions, and embrace new ideas.
Don't be afraid to disrupt yourself before someone else does.
Second, build a strong team.
Okay.
Surround yourself with people who have diverse perspectives, different areas of expertise, and a passion for your brand.
Okay.
The best decisions are made collaboratively. Okay. So foster a culture of open communication and idea sharing.
Get everyone on board, rowing in the same direction. Be open to feedback from all levels of your organization.
And finally, remember that no brand is invincible.
Okay.
Challenges will arise, mistakes will be made, and unexpected events will happen.
Right.
The key is to be prepared.
Uh-huh.
Understand the warning signs we've discussed today. Use the BTI to assess your vulnerabilities. And be ready to act decisively and transparently when things go wrong.
Be proactive, be adaptable, and never underestimate the power of building genuine trust with your customers. Those are some wise words to live by. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into the world of brand tragedies.
My pleasure.
I think we all learned a lot today.
I hope so.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time.